the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Tuesday, November 12th, 2019.
And whatever you do on a fine day such as this, don't take an edible without knowing what the dose is.
Oh, like a little gummy?
A little gummy.
I've got a whole packet of gummies I was just going
to
eat.
Well, don't take it unless you've read the outside of the packet first to know how much you should be taking.
Well, I mean, I don't think it should be a big deal. I'm a professional athlete. I don't think just eating a bag of gummies is going to hurt me in any way.
I mean, how funny would this whole thing be if it was all a prank and that Dion Waiters didn't know that the gummy was just...
Well, it's very possible that... what's his home state? What team is he playing for right now?
Miami.
Okay. So it's not legal there.
That is correct.
So Dion Waiters... overdosed on gummy edible gummies?
I mean
marijuana gummies?
What is overdose?
I don't know.
He had a panic attack because he felt like he was not feeling well after having taken...
This is not an uncommon response to someone's first experience with edibles.
Yes, yeah.
It actually happens a lot.
Very true. People do not enjoy their first time with edibles if they take the wrong dose.
So my feeling is that he's just an edible noob.
That could very well be the case.
Because this brings up an issue I have with edibles in general, which is that they are not dosed in the way that you would eat the thing that they are.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not at all.
So when the first time I ever encountered this, I was given some marijuana goldfish here in California where it's legal. And I didn't really, I don't know from dosages, so I just ate the goldfish the way I would eat goldfish.
That's, oh boy, Chris, oh that, boy.
And I didn't have a panic attack, but I could see why you would have one.
You were familiar with the idea of how panic would work in that situation. It just didn't happen.
Well, like yet. I have gummies from the local dispensary.
Yeah.
But I literally can eat, like if I have a gummy worm.
Yeah.
If I generally eat half a worm. And that's the full dose for me.
So here's what you got to do. You just got to mix that half a worm in with a bunch of other ones. Gummy
that makes
worm.
Sense, yeah.
You know, that's why they make it to blend right in. So you don't know which one is the one that is going to get you. You just
portion.
This is how much goldfish I would like to eat, which is one small 4-ounce container of goldfish.
What if the first time you ever gave Lamar Odom edibles, you gave him like a bag of Skittles and you're just like, have at it, Lamar. Eat this candy the way you always eat candy.
And they were Skittles edibles.
Right, but they were dosed at the way that,
Lord.
He would have not handled that very well.
No, I mean, I think the way edibles are now is much different than they were in the past, too. They're stronger now, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, easier to get a hold of. And one of the things I think people are talking about very little in this story is... Do you know how long the flight was that he had a panic attack on?
No. Where was it from?
It was from Phoenix to Los Angeles.
Oh, Lord. I didn't know that. That's a flight short enough that you could live in one city and say that you could still see your kids in the other.
Yeah.
Like something Steve Nash would say.
That's a flight that is...
45 minutes?
It is in the air maybe an hour 20.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because Phoenix is 6 hours away from Los Angeles.
Right.
Right. So that's not, you know, and you
it's
know.
A little further than Vegas, I guess.
Yes.
All right. But a very short time to have a panic attack.
Very short time. Also, depending upon when you ate the gummy, it might not even kick in an hour and a half. That's the wildest part of this is that if he just takes the gummy a little bit later, like right while he's popping on the plane,
then he has the panic attack, like.
And nobody knows about it.
In the Uber.
And he only gets suspended for 7 games for detrimental conduct.
What was his suspension?
10 games by the team. Mm.
I have seen recently a pitch to trade. Let's see if you say no or yes to this deal.
I'm going to say no to it immediately.
Okay. It's Dion Waiters to the Lakers.
Yes. Okay.
For KCP.
Oh, well, okay, so there's
not an automatic no.
There's two reasons why I say no to this.
Okay.
One, because you can't get KCP to agree to a trade. His entire career with the Lakers, he's had a no-trade clause.
Is that still true?
That is still
That's
true.
That's ridiculous.
Because he signed a one-year deal every year.
Do all the one-years get that?
If you have a one-year contract and you have bird rights, you lose your bird rights in a trade. So
I see.
That would mean that he would lose his bird rights, and because bird rights help you get paid more, as a function of this, that the CBA is set so that those people have the right to veto a trade if they desire.
So this is a roundabout way of saying that the Lakers are stuck with KCP.
Lakers are stuck with KCP. Here's the second reason. I don't think Dion Waiters brings anything different to the table than KCP.
Well, he brings gummies to the table.
Well, somebody else brought him the gummy. That's the other part.
Well, let's trade for that guy.
Well,
trade KCP for that guy.
We don't know who that guy is. That's the key, is that Dion Waiters has refused to give up who he got the gummy from.
Oh, it's probably someone on the team.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that we don't know which one. Like, was it Kendrick Nunn? Was it Goran Dragic? Was it Myers Leonard? You know, there's so many guys who could have gummies. You just don't know who it is.
It's definitely not Dragic.
I mean, it could be.
Nah.
I mean, the Slovenia, it's crazy out there. There's so much pot in Slovenia. It's
probably Tyler Hero.
Okay, we have found the culprit. It's Tyler Hero.
You know what? It's probably, All-American... good kid looking Duncan Robinson. He really looks like, you know, the kid, the coach's kid at the YMCA, that's like, you, like a deadly shot from outside, but just a generally nice guy. He helps you sweep up the floor. He runs that big broom over the court.
He's got the Doug McDermott vibe.
Yeah.
I can see that from Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
And you know, the coach's kid always gets away with everything, so that's why he has the gummies.
More probably so.
On taking your very serious proposal seriously.
It's probably James Johnson. 7-0 MMA record, James Johnson.
I mean, that's impressive. Not a lot of people are undefeated in MMA.
I mean, when you watch him on the court, it's like, oh, he's an MMA guy. Like, he just looks more solid than the other players. But his body just looks like, do not get in a fight with this guy.
I mean, you know, Dion Waiters, that body is solid. Solid of...
gummies.
It was just an
idle thought on a Reddit subreddit.
Well, I mean, I want to take the second half of this seriously. I don't think he would be a better fit with this team than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope,
and that's saying something.
Yes, it is. I'm just taking the general, like, he's been here for 3 years. He seems to fit in with the team. Like, nobody on the team seems to hate KCP.
No, just all the fans.
Just all the fans. Yeah. And, like, you don't make decisions based on the whims of the fans. So I would say no. I would veto this trade if I was the Lakers.
Mm.
I think the things that Dion Waiters brings are so small and don't effectively fit in with what the team needs.
And significant, aside from the gummies thing, just a significant, like, question mark in terms of locker room chemistry. And, like, he seems to have had...
Yeah. Everywhere he's gone, he's kind of butted heads with people in ways that, like, you know, you sometimes want people to butt heads, but he's butted heads in ways that only serve him.
And probably, like, not more than, say, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
But Kyrie Irving also can score 50 points, you know.
Yes.
Although I bet Dion Waiters has a 50-point game in his career at some point.
I mean, does AAU count as a career? That's the hot question on the table today.
So you want to talk a little Lakers?
Yes. So we had the game of the week last week. Following our champions in week one of our new feature, the Heat. We decided to check them out versus the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And this game, my friends, was not close in the second half. So kind of bucks the trend of our previous game, where it wasn't close after the first quarter. At least there were, you know, two quarters of close basketball.
This was a competitive... They kind of just grinded away. Like, the distance just kept... The grinded
distance. Yeah, I mean, like, it really... Like, it got... It was about 10 points for, like, basically from halftime till the end of the game.
Yeah.
It was the lead. And that doesn't mean that the game wasn't competitive up until then. And even during those points, you let 2 points slip away, you know, every other minute.
I mean, it's a completely subjective thing, but it did kind of just feel like that cushion never went away.
Yeah.
And that the Heat were never really seemed that threatening to, like, erase it.
No.
It just kind of just sat there between 6 and 12 points, just like just sat there like it was just a buffer.
And one of the big reasons for that, I thought, was that the Heat just missed a lot of three-pointers.
They certainly did.
Right. And like, you know, one of the big stats from the game that LeBron was talking about was that he was told by the Lakers analytics team, which A, is news to me that the Lakers have an analytics team. And B, you know, who knows if this is true or not, but he said that he got word that they contested about 88% of the shots that the Miami Heat took on that game.
Yes, I saw that quoted in a later Lakers game that they then lost.
Yeah. That sounds great. I would love to know what the contested shot metric is for, you know, like an average game for a team.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I think if we were to go through and chart every shot, I would guess that contested shots would be like 55 to 65% would be an average game for the NBA. I don't know entirely sure what the breakdown of that is. But regardless of whether or not they played good defense, I think that Miami missed shots that they could have made. Because, I mean, that's just going to happen when you shoot 35% from the field. That's just, it's a combo, right? It's a combo of the Lakers, you know, admittedly much stronger defensive prowess this year with the additions of Anthony Davis and LeBron James as a defensive player.
Yeah.
Because last year we had LeBron as an offensive player, but we didn't have him as a defensive player.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they signed LeBron as defense in the offseason.
Well, they signed him because sometimes the offensive guy takes off in games.
Yes. Okay. That's a good point.
Hey, let me give you some stats.
All right. Talk to me.
The team leading the league in contested shots is the Milwaukee Bucks at 77% of shots contested.
Hey. So there is a place to look at these stats.
This is on stats.nba.com.
Wow. Man, I should go on a website or something.
The Lakers league average for contesting shots is 60%.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not league average. Their season average is
60%. Got it. Okay. And are they above or below the middle of the league?
How many teams are there? 30?
30.
Let's see. Anything? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. They're the 17th best team at contesting shots.
Okay. I mean, that, man, I feel really good about my basketball knowledge saying that the average would be between 55 and 65% contested shots.
Now, they are the 21st team in contesting three-point shots.
Okay.
And these numbers are considerably lower.
Yes.
The best team in the league is the Milwaukee Bucks at contesting three-pointers, and they are at 30.5% shots contested.
I mean, that to me also makes sense, because why would you take a three-pointer if it was heavily contested?
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So,
I mean, if they contested 88% shots, they were 28 points above their average.
Yeah, that's a great defensive performance. And this Lakers team has a good defense right now.
Yeah, right? They are number one in defensive rating, I think.
I don't know if that had changed since the last time.
They're one or two.
Yeah.
They're certainly up there.
I don't think that's what I expected going into this year.
That's not what I expected, because I didn't, honestly, I didn't expect LeBron to play defense.
Yeah.
He hasn't played defense in 3 years? Consistent regular season team defense? He's not played in 3 years.
Do you just like imagine LeBron sitting at home and like consulting the ancient defensive tomes and like going, ah, yes, this is the year I will emerge from my shell? And
maybe. You know, he, the thing is, he also hasn't played great defense in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In a couple of years. And so I am still a little worried that, you know, Let's see how much of this high-level LeBron we get for over an 82-game season.
I mean,
they are number one in defensive rating right now, 98.1.
Wow. Hey, sounds like an LA radio station from my childhood.
98.1, the D rating.
The D rating.
What's your D rating?
Call in. First five callers get a blocked three-pointer.
I would say a couple thoughts about this Miami Heat Lakers game. One is that the Lakers should have taken my advice last season, and they should have sold high on Kyle Kuzma.
Oh.
Kyle Kuzma is only going to disappoint Lakers fans for the rest of this year. He's going to have a game. Every sixth game, he's going to have a good game, and he's going to make you forget that he is one of the dumbest players on the team.
Interesting. I think that there's got to be some improvement shown by him this year. for the team to feel happy about having kept
him. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's coming off an injury.
Yeah. And an injury that kept him away from training camp, kept him away from preseason.
He went from scoring like 16 points a game to 18 last year.
Yeah.
Something like that. Honestly, for him to be the one kept out of the whole young crew, especially in a year when Brandon Ingram is playing very well.
Yeah.
I think Kuzma has to be a 20-point game guy.
On this team?
Well, I mean, if he's... Yeah, on this, there's plenty of room for scoring on this team.
Because I don't think that there's a need for him to score 20 points.
Ooh, I think there is. Because after the main two guys, like, there's not a lot of scoring on this team.
I think that there's always going to be somebody who hits three or four three-pointers in a game on this team, right? There's always going to be, like, one dude out of those five.
I don't know. That hasn't really been...
Between Cook and Daniels.
There's been some really bad three-point shooting from the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that, like... Like, I'm saying that there's going to be AD and LeBron up at the top. Danny Green is your most consistent third slot performer. Then of all those other guys, I think that there's going to be one of the four of them. And I'm talking about Cook, and I'm talking about Daniels, and I'm talking about Caruso, and I'm talking about KCP.
Yeah, I think that this game, and then I watched the Raptors game as well.
Yeah.
Against the Lakers, that they don't quite have enough talent. Like, the four guys that you mentioned are, sure, maybe they will squeeze enough offense out of those guys, but...
I'm saying one out of the four of those has to produce in a game.
Yeah. Right?
And then Kyle Kuzma has to slot in around there, and I think that they have enough to compete every night in a way that wins them 60 to 70% of their games.
I think that's true. I think that's true in a regular season way, in a way that I wouldn't be... super happy about going into the playoffs with.
That's fair. The playoffs desire more consistency from the top of your lineup, and having inconsistencies, which is what, you know, the back end of the Lakers bench is. It's just a bunch of inconsistencies.
Yeah.
That's tough. Here's another thing I want to bring up. How much of this early season push that the Lakers have made, that 7-game win streak, how much do you feel that Dwight Howard has been one of the big architects of that?
To a degree. Like, I think that he's played a big part in it. I think he's been the best player. Do you think he's been the third best player on the team?
I think he's maybe been the fourth best player on the team behind Danny Green. Who, in my opinion, has been playing good defense and has maybe not had the offensive output that we've imagined.
Yeah.
But I think he... would slot in there just above.
Well, certainly better than Casey Lawrence's assessment of him a year ago.
Yes.
Being bad.
Yes. I'm just going to have to eat shit on Danny Green being bad for the rest of my fucking life.
I don't think he will. Because I think first of all, against the Raptors, he was 0 for 5, 0 for 4 from 3, and had 0 points. So that's a game where you can say Danny Green is bad at basketball.
It felt like he was pressing in that game.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, understandable. He wanted to put on a show and show them what they were missing out on by, you know, whatever he was doing.
I just think that they need Kuzma to be I think his floor needs to be 15 points. And right now it feels like his ceiling is 15 points.
That's
also, he's a dumb player.
Yeah.
He makes dumb, dumb plays. And on defense, he is dumb and bad.
So he has been dumb and bad on defense. I want to believe. I'm the X-Files.
He makes dumb plays like the ball's going in the basket. I'm going to dunk it in and get an offensive goaltending for no reason.
Yeah.
What
do you mean for no reason? The higher he jumps, the more people see his Pumas.
That's right.
And Puma pays him more than the Lakers do.
He makes dumb plays like... he creates a turnover off of a side,
that was really bad.
Stopped ball entrance pass.
That was a really bad play.
And he makes bad defensive rotations.
I kind of want to start this up by just being like, he was not there when the defense was installed.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's an excuse. However, I do want to acknowledge, even if he was there when the defense is installed, I don't think he'd be great at defense.
Yeah.
I think he still has a lot to learn, which
It's a little, it's just frustrating because I feel like the Lakers, obviously they have a good defense, but they also have some players that just, okay, I know it's hard to keep perimeter players in front of you, but like between him and Quinn Cook, I will agree with your assessment that Quinn Cook is not very good.
Yeah.
Because he is also a very frustrating player to watch.
Yes, on he this is. Team. Yeah.
KCP is a frustrating player to watch on this team. Alex Caruso, I think, is like maximizing his talent.
Yeah.
But I don't see a lot more that we can get out of Alex Caruso. I think he's playing great.
What about his dunks, though?
His dunks are great, but I don't see... He also makes some bad plays. Like, I'm glad that Rondo is back because he's at least smart, even if he is a weird player that does weird things to offensive rhythms.
Yeah.
Troy Daniels has been playing well.
Yeah, and I guess the one person I forgot to talk about was Avery Bradley.
Mm.
Who has been a very good player for this team so far.
Avery Bradley sort of was in the, I would say, the NBA woodshed for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, sort of famously considered like an above average defensive player.
Yeah.
Was that with, he was with the Celtics, I yes, would say?
That is correct.
Then went to the Pistons. And then was roundly considered like, oh, he's not good at defense.
Correct.
It was all a lie.
Because it was individual defense that made it so that everybody else could have 4-on-4 basketball and be easier to play.
Yeah. Also, we're still in a state with the NBA where it's almost impossible to measure anyone's defensive play.
Yes.
Like, there's really almost no way to, especially if it's a given that any point guard can get around any other point guard whenever they want. And then adding pick and roll plays where any guard or small forward can get around whoever they want, then it becomes just almost like impossible to measure individual defensive play.
Yeah. So here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. Lakers right now have two players, and yes, it's early in the season, two players that are averaging, or that have like a PER that's like MVP level.
Mm-hmm.
Two players who have an above average PER. And everybody else is not playing efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
That normally, I think you would not expect that to be a good team. But with the defense that they're playing mm-hmm. right now, they are a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're probably going to be following the Lakers on our team of the week, on our game of the week for a little bit.
Yes. We might also be following... potential coach of the year candidate,
Frank Vogel.
Because if a team's defense, if the coach is defensive minded and then the team has the number one defense, it's a little bit like he's kind of the coach of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it'll hurt that to be like, he also got AD, but
it's early. But I think 10 games in, 10% of the season, you got to start talking about the fact that Frank Vogel is a much better coach than Luke Walton.
Yes.
I don't think
Luke Walton is also not doing a good job.
He's also not doing a good job up in Sacramento. And I think that, I think I was like a little sad when they got rid of Luke Walton because I was like, it just doesn't feel like it's his fault. But I think I'm pretty happy that Frank Vogel's around.
Yeah.
Which is something I didn't think that I'd be saying.
I was excited just to have a sort of like, I don't know anything about Frank Vogel, but he's kind of like a nerd coach.
You know?
Like he seems like someone who will watch film until 3 a.m. And like he seems like a Van Gundy almost.
That I think is a fair assessment.
And I think a Van Gundy is not a bad, like I would put Spoelstra in the same category. It's not a bad person to have coach LeBron because there's no coach that's going to be able to impress LeBron like, hey, I was a player as good as you. You should listen to me.
Yeah.
But he seems to be somebody who's very cerebral about the way he thinks about the game. So maybe if you were also thoughtful about, for example, how the defense should be played.
Yeah.
I think Kendrick Nunn has sort of come back down to earth since our last
podcast. He has come back down to earth a little bit. I think the early season shouts for Rookie of the Year consideration have quieted down for him.
Also, having watched two games in a row of Kendrick Nunn, I also feel that. I'm just kind of like, he's okay. Like, he's not like world beating in any way. I do want to express some condolences to Luke Jensen, from last week's podcast.
Ooh.
Because right after we were like, Minnesota's going to have, and they are having an okay week.
Yeah.
But like right after we were like, they're going to have a great week. They who did they lose to like the next day?
It was they
like,
lost to Memphis. Memphis. And yeah. It was good. I definitely trolled him a little bit on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you kind of gotta hit him where it hurts. But
yeah,
That was a funny loss because, you know, that game didn't feel like it should have been that close. Because Minnesota was not good in that game. And it was wild to see them play so poorly, especially with Cat back against a team that, you know, they should have beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, it was pretty fun to laugh about that one. Just to get our giggle on.
Before we get off of that, I think my prediction of most improved player is definitely possible.
You do think that.
Yeah.
Because he has been playing well. In a way that makes it so that he's not the worst player in the league.
And also Towns has not been playing well the last couple of games.
Yeah, Towns has fallen back down to earth a little bit.
So they're averaging the same number of points
per game.
And
Andrew Wiggins has a greater than average PER for the first time in his career.
He's shooting 47% from the field. Like, he's probably not going to win, but like, if he got up to if his name is anywhere near All-Star mentions,
yeah,
he's a contender for most improved.
Yeah, I think so.
I want to say this about the Miami Heat also. I think it's interesting that Jimmy Butler doesn't feel like he has a ton of impact on the game. He plays very well. That game never, and I kind of felt that way about the game before too, that he's just sort of like producing and doing some good work on both ends of the floor, but it never feels like he has any impact on the game.
Does it kind of feel like he's a little unplugged from the team, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I'd have to watch more of them because I'm not sure how plugged into the flow of their offense. When Dragic is in, they have a nice flow to their offense.
Dragic, I feel like Dragic is going to be a solid player who plays for another 5 or 6 years in the league just because he'll always have a role.
Does it feel like he's going to be the bench player that has more minutes than the starting point guard for them this year?
Yes, it super does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like they are a team that, you know, he just knows how to make them go. And
yeah.
I'm excited to continue to see him. He might, you know, push Lou Williams for sixth man.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's an absolute possibility.
I can see that actually with both Lou Williams and Dragic, they are the kind of players that I feel like when they come in off the bench, you're like, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you are in a flow. You've been facing who are they starting at point guard? Are you considering none their point guard starter?
That's a tough one.
Whoever it is.
I don't know.
You're kind of like
they kind of don't super start a point guard.
They just kind of have two guards.
Two basically. Guards, yeah.
Right. So you're not being you're not getting an intense amount of offensive pressure against your defense in the way that when Dragic comes in, he's a little bit relentless in just like how he's probing the defense constantly.
Yeah.
Because that is his game. Like that's where he excels is that he distorts the defense in a kind of Nash-like way of just kind of always like trying to get into the crevices of your defense and then making good passes. That I think that might be particularly annoying if that's in the bench unit.
Yeah, because normally bench play is not going to be as crisp or as smart or as, you know, efficient as regular play. That's why they're on the bench.
And this is how Miami's bench offense is similar to a tool for editing genetic code that it's CRISPR.
Oh!
And similarly, I think Lou Williams must be so annoying to try to guard when you are, like, you've been playing for 9 minutes and you're tired and he just comes in and, like...
Just wrecks shit.
I like Lou Williams so much.
Well, I think it's time to check in. How is Chris Grace's favorite team watch going? What are your feelings? How are you feeling about you know, your fandom and the state of the NBA this year?
I would say currently I don't know who my favorite team in the league is.
and you know what? I'm here to support you in that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I talk about basketball with people, I don't tell them they have to be a fan of a specific team. You know, I tell them to be a fan of basketball. You know, just get in there and say, I love basketball. I'm a basketball person.
And then just to wear generic basketball attire.
Yeah, just like cut a basketball in half and wear it as a hat, but also as shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So the fun combo there is because basketball has just enough leather for you to make one hat and two pairs of shoes out of it.
The thing is, like, I still, like, even this year, I like the way that the Warriors are handling their terrible year.
Yeah.
They're all pretty just like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, they're not getting dysfunctional. Also, I realized today that they might end up with the number one pick.
They certainly could. They are awful. They're so bad. But, like, why are they so bad? They're so bad because their best players are all hurt.
Their four best players from last year are not on the court.
They're not on the court. One of them is on a different team, and then the other three are not on the court.
And then, they have a very young team.
Yeah.
On the court.
It is so,
and also their system is not a system that's easy to learn.
No, the I think the wildest thing is, like, this feels like they're doing a Miami Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they win the championships and then they strip it down and then they try to win it again, which they're not specifically actually doing that, but it just feels that way.
I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, Curry comes back in 4 weeks as opposed to 3 weeks after breaking his hand, or if, like, Draymond, who has, like, a ligament issue.
You didn't hear that Curry was downgraded to maybe out for the whole season?
Oh.
And then re-upgraded to I'll be back in the spring?
Oh.
So Curry's out for a long time.
I just wouldn't be surprised if, I'm sorry, in 3 weeks he's getting another procedure is what I read.
Oh, God. I
wouldn't be surprised if Draymond just, like, there's no incentive for them to, like, rush back to the court.
No, I mean, there really truly isn't, like, other than maybe their ego or, like, ticket holders in San Francisco. Like, what a scam it would be if we found out that the building was, like, made of marshmallows and they go back to Oracle next year and be like, we're trading for Kevin Durant. And, you know, I don't know. Just, like, how funny would that be if they just bilked everybody of money in San Francisco?
I think those guys they have the luxury of having very recently won the championship and most recently been in the finals.
Yeah.
And not really having lost that finals they lost it in a very, like, oh, two of our best players are not here. Of course, you're going to win right away. So they have a very much, like, if it's 2 years from now and they're still bad, I don't know that Draymond will be quite so chummy
in
the situation. I also do love the idea that a bunch of, like, wealthy white people that got the arena to be moved are now experiencing a healthy dose of, like, going to the games and getting their asses kicked.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels like something, because I feel like those guys only became fans 5 years ago anyway.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the fans can have a little bit of humble pie.
Yes.
But
I love a good humble pie.
I bring it up because the way the Kerr and Curry and the organization are handling this year so far is another thing that makes me like them as a team. And in terms of, like, thinking about what my favorite teams are.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I realized watching the Heat Lakers game and then the Raptors Lakers game is that, like, in sports, it just comes down to, like, whether or not they do well on the court. Because I'm sure Kuzma's a great guy, but he annoys me so much.
Yeah.
Quinn Cook annoys me.
Yeah.
KCP. Like, the more, after, like, the sixth shot in a row that KCP missed, against the Heat.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just, by the way, both teams were shooting horribly.
Very badly.
From three.
Yeah.
And on some very good looks that were being created by both, like, playmakers on both sides, that it's kind of like what we talked about, you know, Chris Paul can be a very good, you know, he, by all accounts, sportsman of the year or whatever. If KCP has some foundation that...
His foundation is driving drunk and then getting a citation for it and then getting house arrest and not being able to go to away games, thus making the Lakers better by not playing because he couldn't leave the state.
That was last year, right?
That was last year, yeah.
Okay. That's so his charity. He's
off of house arrest.
Charity is his lawyer. but the thing is, all that aside, if he was amazing on court, I'd be like, fuck all that. He's great. So It's a sad thing about sports. And yeah. So the thing is that if the Lakers continue to do well, I'll probably end up being, they'll be my favorite team again.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's how much I don't like Patrick Beverley. It's because the Clippers have been playing well and I don't like him. I will say that watching the Miami Heat game, I did think, what was the game from last week? Heat.
It was Heat versus Rockets. Rockets, yes.
Sports in general is a little bit of a peculiar thing because I'm trying to think of other fields, other industries, other jobs you could have where part of your job is publicly failing. You know, between 30 and 70% of the time.
Yeah.
In front of your quote unquote customers.
Yes.
That you are not doing a good job.
Yeah.
Like most of the creative arts are, you kind of work on stuff until it's good and then you show it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's probably had the other fields that are competitive, but for the most part, when everybody that does your job, there isn't somebody that's also seeing you on the days that you fail at your job.
Yeah.
And privy to how incompetent you can look sometimes when someone is better at your job than you,
yeah.
Or for whatever reason, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day.
Yeah. I mean, that's so interesting, right? Like, what are the things that everybody sees, right? Like driving. Driving is one thing that you could be like, well, it's not competitive, but you see everybody else driving. You can know when other people are like bad drivers or doing bad driving jobs. You can see people's
manners,
like yeah,
manners, social behavior.
Just like, what other interesting stuff like that?
Where else in life do you get, like, you do something suboptimal and you get instant feedback from 1 to 30,000 people being like, oh... Like, it's not very common.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my only thing I could think of was like, everybody, or like somebody trips in the middle of that crosswalk in the middle of Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
You know, you trip and fall and everything.
There must
like,
be footage of somebody dripping.
I mean, I'm sure that place is on camera like all the time. Yeah. I mean, getting in an accident on the side of the freeway. Like, that to me is the other one.
So, like
a plane crash, right? Like maybe if you're bad at flying your plane,
yeah,
everybody dies. There's
hopefully if your plane is crashing, you're booing the pilot as it's happening.
I would love to boo a very stressed pilot who's trying to like what? Can you imagine if Sully got booed by all the people he was trying to save?
Just
because they're like, I can't believe that you're making me go in the Hudson. The Hudson is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, could have gone in the East River.
Yeah. Oh man. I truly don't know where Sully landed his plane.
He landed, I believe, in the Hudson.
Okay.
Which is on the west side. Also, everything contentious about the FAA in that movie was completely made up.
Ooh.
Like, apparently, they went and interviewed the real people, and they were like, no one had a problem with what he did. Like, there's a big fight in that movie about, like, did he do the right thing? And it's all made up.
Yeah. Maybe like reality TV, like
think about
the Kardashians, publicly fail often on their show.
That's true. And also, like competitive reality shows.
Yeah. But like, I feel like that falls on the same, like competitive
that's
thing.
Sports.
Like that's like what we, the official stance of the Rule of Threes podcast is that Survivor is sports.
Yeah.
But we just don't care about it.
Yeah.
Unless you care about Survivor. Do you care about Survivor?
No, I respect it as a show, but Survivor and Amazing Race, I'm like, those are good shows.
Yeah, cool. Great.
I just think it's an aspect to being an athlete that I hadn't thought about until I was watching the game.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you know what it is that it coincided with me watching some YouTube videos. One was, so there's a guy named AJ Lepre.
Okay.
Lepre. He's one of the new wave of YouTube basketball stars. I would say the professor is one.
Got it.
Tristan Jass. Do you know him?
I don't know Tristan Jass.
Mac McClung is one.
Is he a YouTube star? Does he make his own YouTube videos or do people just
Tristan
make
Jass does.
Mac McClung highlights that are like...
Mac McClung.
He's white. He's in college.
Mac McClung would show up in like... The Bone Collector is challenging AAU players, and this AAU player beat him.
Got it. Okay.
And AJ Lepre, who played at Pepperdine, he's a tall guy. He's very much not like the little guy super ball handling thing. He's a guy who will go to a college campus and be like, hey, I'm at this pickup court. Anybody that can score on me, I'll give you $100.
Oh, I think I have seen that that video exists.
Yeah. So he played a game to three against Kenrich Williams.
Okay.
Who is on the
Pelicans.
Yes. And like A.J. LaPrey is a very good player. He was a D, whatever Pepperdine is, D1? Two?
I think Pepperdine's D1.
He's a very good player. He would destroy you and me playing basketball. He would not block your shot.
Yeah. No, never, because I'd never get a shot up because I can't dribble that well.
But the gap between him and Kenrich Williams was significant. And so while I was watching this and then these games this week, I was thinking about how like the, you know, 10th guy on the bench would destroy everybody listening to this podcast at basketball. Like, not even close.
Yeah.
Like, and how then we have to see that. Then I saw Kenrich Williams get soundly beaten by Siakam. There was like a highlight the other day of Siakam just like doing a bunch of ball handling, scoring, and then like talking trash afterwards.
Yeah, okay, but I want to see these guys in my world, like scouring the clearance aisle at Ralph's for good deals on tahini. Like, could these guys do that? Like, because I got 50% off a pound of tahini, and I gave it to my friend the other day because he was looking to make some hummus. And I don't think a single current NBA player would ever walk into a Ralph's.
Here's a question. Could a single current NBA player go to a dispensary and successfully purchase, you know, marijuana gummies and know what the dosage is?
If that player was Tyler Hero, then yes. If that player was...
we know at least one player that couldn't do that.
Deion Waiters, it's a no. That's a no.
Anyway, just something to think about. Like, I think it's... They must have a something. It must distort or change your personality somewhat to on a daily basis. And I would say even these guys more than like an NFL player, because an NFL player is doing it 16 times a year.
Yeah.
And except for the 5% of like quarterbacks and marquee players, there's a lot of NFL players that it's like I'm not even sure if he did a good job on that play.
Yeah.
You know. Whereas an NBA player 82 times going out there and 40 times a year being on the losing end and having, you know, a bunch of people and millions of people on TV watch you fail.
Yeah.
That must do something to your personality.
I don't know. I thought of another profession that has a lot of people watch them all the time and they may not have a good day.
Ooh.
Teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Maybe it's not at the same scale, but you know, college professors sometimes lecture for, you know, 300, 400 kids a day.
Also, I would say it's not really sports, but like politicians.
Yeah.
We're about to see a bunch of politicians.
Just shit themselves.
We're about to see it probably 8 Democratic politicians fail in the next 12 months.
Yeah, I mean.
And maybe 9. Maybe all of them if things... cut the way that this podcast prefers.
Oh.
Podcast is a strong pro GOP podcast.
Oh, yikes.
That's why we're so against players like Deion Waiters and their morality.
Let us just state for the record that that's all fucking true. InfoWars.
Yeah. Do we want to pick our game of the week for next week?
Yes.
So we're going to follow the Lakers.
We are
going
to follow the Lakers.
The Lakers have the crown.
They do have the crown. However, what they do not have is a compelling slate of games.
Uh-oh.
So this
week's... However, by the way, we've thought certain games would be compelling and they weren't.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So we're going to choose between either the Lakers-Kings or Lakers-Hawks.
Oof.
So I think for me...
I know what you're going to pick.
It's Lakers-Hawks.
Yeah, Hawks for sure.
Because I want to see, I want to watch a Trae Young game.
Oh, now Trae Young, there was an injury scare
last week? He got injured. He's back already.
So it was not a big deal.
No, he just kind of sprained his ankle a little bit.
Okay, good. Very good. Let's see, what day is that game?
That game is Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. At the Staples Center.
Okay, hold on. Let me just pull this up because I want to see where it will be on some way of me watching it.
Oh yeah, that's the other tough part about our Lakers stuff.
It's a good reason to root for the Hawks in this game.
League Pass does not let us watch those Laker games. Well, they do let you watch them day after.
I was able to watch a bit of the Lakers game against the Raptors by using a VPN.
Ooh,
So that worked. Then I was. originally trying to watch. I think the Heat Lakers was on NBA TV.
Yeah.
So I did a trial of YouTube TV to get that.
Excellent.
Was locked out.
Yo.
Geographically. Turned on the VPN. YouTube is too smart. They realized I was on a VPN.
Oh.
So then I did a trial of Sling TV, who was not too smart.
There we go. Take that.
So now I have to remember to cancel both of those trial offers. but as far as I know, using, and the one I use is called VPN Unlimited, by the way. Should I be talking about this?
I mean, yes.
Is it illegal?
I mean, no, it's not illegal to use a VPN. It is against the terms of service of those subscribing authorities.
So, I'll live with that.
Yeah. Got a question for you. Let's say a player, scored 23 points and was 9 for 16 from the field with 3 for 6 from three-point land.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a team almost best plus 9 in the plus-minus column. And let's say that player was named Kyle Kuzma, leading the Lakers to a win over the Phoenix Suns tonight.
Oh, just now, you mean?
Just right now as we speak.
I would say that...
like, would you say that having these hard facts to counter your evidence is like devastating or extremely devastating?
I would say it was a small sample size.
Okay, all right. You got
and
it,
also,
you got it.
As far as I can tell, there's 18 seconds left in this game.
Yeah. There's definitely 18 seconds left in this game, and the Suns are going to lose, and go Lakers, and go Kyle Kuzma. That's right.
I'm back, baby. I would so love it for just the irony of it if Devin Booker just threw down like three three-pointers
in a row
in 3 seconds.
Yeah, pull a Tracy McGrady.
I would say that I need Kuzma to do this. Honestly, 4 out of 6 games,
and like
for the rest of the season. Yeah. But I honestly feel like it's going to be one out of every 3 games he's going to play like this.
Okay,
and I don't think that's enough for a championship caliber team.
Got it.
I think that a lot of the other players on the Lakers are kind of maxed out. I think Howard, Caruso, Bradley's playing a lot better than we thought he would.
And even then, it's mostly just his defense. His PER is still at like 11.
I don't think there's any player on the team except maybe LeBron and Kuzma that you're like, they could play a lot better than they're playing. LeBron has been playing well, but like he probably has another gear where he hasn't really,
yeah,
you know. And I think Anthony Davis is playing very well. Yeah. Maybe he's got another level, but even if
his another level is when his shoulder is fully healthy.
Yeah. So. He needs to put some Beskar steel
on
that shoulder.
Ooh.
But the rest of the players, like Howard and McGee, I'm like, they're playing great. Like, good for them. They got a great defense, but I don't see a lot more production coming out of them. So Kuzma's pretty much like the guy that is like the hope of the Lakers going from, let me do a quick search what their offensive rating is. But like, I would say their offensive rating is probably not super high.
I think they're like approximately league average.
League average.
If I am recalling where I saw them in the Kirk Goldsberry Instagram chart. Truly, a great follow on Instagram, Kirk Goldsberry.
They are 19th in the league in offensive rating. So Kuzma would be the hope of taking them even up that 5 slots and without bringing them down on the defensive side. And that's not a gimme.
No.
Because his defense is bad.
Sounds like what we need to do is to take Kyle Kuzma to defense school.
What would that be?
That would be us like teaching him how to play defense.
Oh boy.
You and me out on the court just showing Kyle Kuzma, hey man, when you're guarding basketball, you gotta do this stuff.
The Atlanta Hawks, by the way, are
beating.
I was going to say, they're 28th in the league in offensive rating.
Oh, they're currently beating the Snakes off of the Denver Nuggets.
Hey, oh, well, that's always good news.
Yes, it is.
I will say shout out to Jokic for putting in some good last-minute work in some of the games this week.
He had two buzzer beaters, or like not buzzer beaters, but I think maybe one of them was a buzzer beater.
I watched this fair chunk of the game, I think, were they playing the Bulls, maybe? Mm-hmm. And I will say that he doesn't look that great this year so far.
Yeah.
He... I know that he's never been in shape the way that everybody wants him to be, and he has been okay besides that.
Yeah.
But there are times in the game where he looks a little just slow.
Yeah.
Like slow just getting back on the court and the stuff.
Take fouls and everything, just kind of a lot.
Yeah, and I think he's just so good that he can kind of get away with it.
Yeah.
But that would be something that would worry me.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Do you know who the biggest surprise of the season for the Hawks has been so far? It's John Collins' PED suspension, but the second biggest surprise has been Jabari Parker.
Oh.
Jabari Parker has been playing very well for them in like 26 minutes a game with a 21 PER. He's averaging like 17 points a game. Six rebounds.
John Collins will still be suspended for this game, right?
Yes.
Because he's got like a 25
game. 25 games is the minimum PED suspension for the NBA.
Okay. I will say, if anyone hasn't seen it, to go back maybe a week and look up the Trae Young highlight where he put the skates on LaMarcus Aldridge.
Ooh.
Did you see that?
Yes, that was so good.
Endlessly rewatchable. Just an amazing play. Anything else to talk about in the NBA this week?
I mean, there's got to be more stuff, but we're out of time.
Yeah, and by the way, quick advanced stat. Who's leading the league in charges drawn on the defensive hustle page? Which team?
Oh, which team? Definitely the Clippers.
They're number two.
Oh, then who's number one?
The Boston Celtics.
Whatever.
They're playing very well. Kemba Walker is having a good season.
It makes me so mad.
I honestly, the fact that it's Kemba Walker instead of Kyrie makes it a little more palatable to me. I like Kemba Walker a lot.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not mad about that. I just, you know.
You just don't want the Celtics to do well.
Yeah, at least Jason Tatum still sucks ass.
Is he having a bad year?
Yes. He's having a year that's like 37-year-old Kobe.
Is he really?
Yeah.
So wait, the continued complaints about him taking the Kobe influence are
baby.
Yeah. He's shooting 39% from the field.
Kobe.
I think it was 2 years ago, 18 months ago on this podcast that I said that it's possible that Jason Tatum is one of those, he's showing you in his rookie year.
He's the Michael Carter Williams of
a little bit like, well, he's just showing you like, these are all my offensive tools and I won't develop a ton more. And they're great for a rookie, and they're still good for a player.
Yeah.
But they're not, but he's not going to become an all NBA player. It's still possible that I was right.
Uh-oh.
And we know that I was right about most improved player this year.
Yes, you're very right. It's going to be Andrew Wiggins. We all got to get our digging for Wiggins shirts.
What were we saying uh-oh about?
Looks like this podcast is almost over.
We'll see you next time. Oh, do you want to play any shows?
I would love to. We got a Truce Ex Machina show Thursday night, 8 p.m. at the Clubhouse in Los Feliz. Other than that, real light on the shows until next week, where we got another Logan Everett's yearbook and a very fun Deuce Ex Machina show at the Inner Sanctum, where it's going to be a two-person per scene herald.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
I don't have any shows to plug this week because I cleared off this whole week. Because I was working on something, and because of the fires from like 2 weeks ago, schedules and locations got all moved around. Ooh. So I actually basically blocked off an entire week to work on this project, and then none of it's happening.
Wow.
Because of a cascade of locations not being available.
Yikes.
So I'll be watching a lot of NBA games this week.
Love it.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.